It's against the law to commit suicide around here.
Yeah, it's against the law where I come from, too.
Where do you come from?
Heaven.
What did you say just a minute ago? Why do you want to save me?
Was it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Anyway, my father didn't think so. This town needs this measly one-horse institution, if only to have some place where people can come without crawling to Potter. I'm leaving right now. I'm going to school. This is my last chance.
But they'll vote with Potter otherwise.
You can't laugh off this Bailey Park anymore.
Bailey family's been a boil on my neck long enough.
You realize what this means? It means bankruptcy and scandal and prison. That's what it means. I'm worth more dead than alive.
Why don't you go to the riffraff you love so much and ask them?
I suppose it'd been better if I'd never been born at all.
All right. You've got your wish. You've never been born. You've been given a great gift, George. A chance to see what the world would be like without you.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Three Amigos Movie Review Podcast. My name is David.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Peter.
And today we're going to be reviewing It's a Wonderful Life. The synopsis on this movie is an angel is sent from heaven to help a desperately frustrated businessman by showing him what life would have been like if he had never existed. All right. So we're going to play a little game real quick. We'll start with Peter. I'm going to have a list in my hand of the different characters. If you were going to cast the three of us as playing one of the characters in this movie, who would you say me and Chris and you would be?
If I was to pick you guys for cast members?
Yeah.
And myself too, or no?
Yeah, yourself too.
I would probably put myself as like the uncle that like loses all the fucking money. And shit,
yeah, you know? Okay.
I would probably put, I'd probably put you as the brother.
Okay. Of the movie. All right.
And I would probably put Chris as Bailey's dad.
Okay. All right, no. Chris, here's the list.
I have a stroke and die immediately.
Here's the
list.
He's
a good dad.
Who's me, Peter, and you?
For sure. Peter's going to be George Bailey.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. David, you're going to be Donna Reed. Because you guys are like so like in sync with each other. You guys are like born to be like made to each other.
Who would you be, Chris?
I would probably be, you know, because I'm such an idiot, I'd probably be Clarence.
Which one's Clarence?
He's the angel. All right, so for me, I had Peter as Clarence, the angel, because he's like just like lighthearted, I guess. I had Chris as the taxi driver because he's pretty funny and kind of like, I don't know.
He's a good guy, the taxi driver. Who do you have for you?
I had myself as the Mr. Potter for some reason. It just seems like it'd be fun to play that freaking guy.
Are you serious?
He's such an asshole. I just like him. All right, guys. Let's start with, we'll go with Chris. What was your first impressions of having watched this movie?
I was so disappointed, man.
Are you serious?
I was so disappointed just for the fact that I was going into this movie and expecting a black and white movie.
Well, they do have a black and white version of it.
I know. But the movie that Peter like lent me is colorized.
Oh man!
They didn't have an option. It wasn't like
I don't know. I didn't.
Okay, so what did you think of the movie? Though?
No, the movie, like, it's a solid movie. It's a There's issues with this movie that I take, like, I'll go into it later, but, like, I take, like, take it personally, you know? Like, yeah. There's, like, a lot of, like, stuff that hits kind of heavy, you know? Yeah. And there's, yeah, I don't know. I wanted to like this movie.
Mixed feelings.
Because, it's really mixed feelings about it. I'll go into it later.
So I did pick this movie, David. I was just trying to get something in for Christmas and New Year's. I do watch this, like, besides for the podcast, I probably watched it 4 times this year. And I think there's a lot of movies that are highly entertaining and bad movies. That they can be bad and just enjoyable to watch. I think there's movies that are great movies that are kind of boring to watch, but they're kind of important. This movie, I find a lot of joy watching it, and I think it's an important movie. That's kind of how I've always felt about it. And so, Peter, what was your impressions of this movie?
Well, I first watched this movie, maybe 7 years ago or so, maybe even more. I was at a job, and one of the guys I used to work with was a movie buff, and he recommended it to me, and I wouldn't shut up about it for like a week after that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was kind of tired of hearing about it. But I really like this movie a lot. I'm open. Like, I if it's not a 10 for me, I went back to see like what I could critique about it. But based on your guys' review, I might go up or down a little
bit. You shouldn't let that judge you.
Yeah. I spent like all day today trying to figure out what I don't like about it. And I can't find much about it. I mean,
I'm going
to
swing hard, man. I'm going to come after this thing.
All right. All right. So let's go into the cast a little bit. We got Jimmy Stewart. I don't know if you guys knew this or not. But he was actually a fighter pilot, or he was a bomber in like real life before this movie happened.
Really?
Yeah, he was a bombardier or something like that. Like, he used to fly in planes, and after he came back from the war, he was really afraid to play this part because he didn't think like the war took too much of a toll on him, you know what I mean? And I don't know what years, and I don't know all of his campaigns that he did or anything like that. But how did you guys feel about him in this movie? Whatever you think.
I liked him a lot in this movie. I guess it was his favorite movie he's ever done.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and
he didn't. A lot of it was real hitting home to him as well, especially the kids, his kids in the movie, where he's holding them and hugging him. It really hit home to him. But he's one of my favorite actors of all time. I wanted to do the Western pick. The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. I was going to pick that one, but I ended up getting Real Bravo instead.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Stewart's, there'll never be another one.
Is this your favorite movie with him in it?
I don't know. He's just great, like, in almost everything he does, you know? This is a really great movie. Okay. I don't know if this is my favorite one of his.
What about you, Chris? Yeah, what do you think about Jimmy Stewart?
Yeah, he was... He did really well with this role. His acting is like, it's really superb. You know, like, you have to admire, I guess, the way he he approaches this character. You know, he pulled it off really well. And the only thing that I could really knock him in, like, it was not even his fault, but because the story called for his character to be played as a like a young 20-year-old. He did not look like a young 20-year-old.
Yeah. When he was... He did have a little bit more of a baby face when...
Yeah.
You know, but yeah.
Yeah. And in this movie, like, you kind of notice, like, it just looks off, you know?
When he gets older, he does look
pretty good. Yeah, he looks really good, yeah.
All right. We have a lot of characters. We'll try to just do quick thoughts. Donna Reed played Mary Hatch, his wife. You guys think she did pretty good in this movie? You hate her?
What do you think?
I hated her like through the first half of this movie.
You hated the character or her acting?
No, like, her acting was pretty good. Okay. Like, it was solid. Yeah, you can't knock her for the job she did.
Why'd you hate her for the first half?
Well, just because, like...
Selfish?
I don't know. I just have a problem with characters that, like, are, like, typecasted, you know? Like, okay. And in the beginning, she's supposed to be, like, in love with this guy. And, you know, they don't really show her in, like, any other, like, light, you know, any other emotion besides, like, being, like, head over heels over this character.
You know? Oh, she is, was she in high school?
She was four years younger than him.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
She was
head over heels in love with him even as a child.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'll just throw this in. I do like the line. This isn't my favorite line of the movie. But when her mom... You're
making mad love.
I am making violent love to him.
Violent love to him, mother. George Bailey's here making violent love.
All right, let's go to Mr. Potter. The actor's name is Lionel Barrymore. What'd you guys think of the evil Mr. Potter?
He was cool. I liked this character a lot.
He's in a Humphrey Bogart movie too.
No, he's not.
Yeah, in a Humphrey Bogart.
Okay.
Not the one that.
Not the
Maltese Falcon.
Maltese Falcon. One of my favorite movies. All right, what did you think about him in this movie, Peter?
I don't have anything bad to say. He played a great antagonist.
Yeah, he's the
banker.
Yeah, but what is he like in all the Christmas movies? Not the Grinch, but the Bah Humbug character.
Scrooge.
Yeah, he's the Scrooge of the movie, right? Pretty much. But he doesn't come back to like the good side. He stays the Scrooge. He's like, Happy New Year's and good luck in jail or whatever. Calling the cops at the end of the movie. All right, what'd you guys think about Uncle Billy? The sole reason, like, of all of, like, Jimmy Stewart's problems is this fucking guy. Like, what do you guys think of the uncle?
It's not the sole reason for all his problems.
He had
a depressing life.
Like, why
was
the
sole
reason
of that end problem, like, where he's going to go to jail.
I'm kind of pretty sure Jimmy Stewart let him lose all the money 3 or 4 times after this movie. like, this is why you should not get in business.
Well, he should have
uncle or family member.
He should not be in that profession.
No, he should. All right, well, I was just joking. But like, what do you think about him?
I think he acted well in it. Yeah. Everybody in this movie acted well.
Yeah, like I'll bring it up later, but it was weird watching this movie. Like watching the characters like being acted in this movie. To me, it almost felt like I was watching a Broadway show and it was recorded.
Mm-hmm. You know what else?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like every scene, like you could break this movie down into like 6 or 7 like specific scenes about, well, basically like you know, like as the movie progresses, you like kind of see like these major scenes in it.
Yeah.
And in every single one, like it just feels like I'm watching a play.
I wonder if it is
A play. Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't be surprised if it had been written as a play.
Yeah.
All right, so we got Clarence, who's the angel, which is a childish, lovable character. We've got Mrs. Bailey. What'd you guys think of Mrs. Bailey? Her real name is... You guys want to try to pronounce that?
Oh, my God.
Bula Bondi?
Biola?
Biola, yeah. Biola? What'd you guys think of her? She's... pretty serviceable, pretty good.
Yeah, like she played her part, you know. Yeah, and like you can't really like say anything bad about her. Like she had this pretty small role.
Is there any that you want? Is there any other actors we haven't mentioned that you want to talk about?
We got Ernie. He's the taxi driver. We got Bert, who's the cop.
What's the name of the friend? The blonde chick.
Oh yeah, so we got Violet, who's real name is Gloria Graham. She was like. The quote-unquote hottie of the movie.
Yeah.
She's wearing, like, nowadays would be considered, like, a wholesome dress. Uh-huh. And, like, they're, like, slobbering over this, like, ankle-length dress. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This whole thing. You know, that was pretty funny.
I just love the fact that, like, George Bailey, like, went up to her and, pictured... I love George Bailey's, like, innocence in this movie. You know, like, he's, like... trying to like take her out on what he considers a romantic evening, and she's all like, "I don't want to do that shit."
Yeah, she's a city girl.
Yeah.
All right.
When she was a kid, that was a great line where you love all the boys. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Did she say something? That was a good line.
Yeah. I like him. You like all the boys. What's wrong with that? Yeah. All right. What about the donkey kid? Yeehaw, yeehaw.
Oh, my God.
Did that get a little bit annoying after a little while? Or?
Nah, I didn't. It didn't bug me. Just it's somebody's quirk.
You know? It did kind of bug me a little bit. Yeah.
Maybe I've seen it so much that it kind of annoys me a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I like he's a good friend and everything, I guess. All right. The brother, Harry Bailey, played by Todd Carnes. Small part, important every time he's on the screen, but he was
good. This movie has a big cast, man.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
All right, here's an important one. So nothing on the brother, right? Let's go to the dad. Yeah. His name is Pa Bailey for some reason on IMDb. What'd you guys think of Samuel S. Hinds as Pa Bailey?
I love the relationship between
George Bailey
and his dad. I wish we could have seen more of it, you know?
He might have had 2 minutes of dialogue, but every word was vitally important.
My favorite line in the movie is like a scene with
him. That conversation. So is mine.
Really?
I wonder if it's the same.
It's like even when he's talking shit to, what's the main bad guy's name?
Mr. Potter.
He's like talking shit to him.
Is it Potter or Potter?
Potter. He's talking shit to him like.
Respectfully.
Respectfully and like, it was good. I liked like every word that Pa Bailey had to say. I think that's most of the cast. We got Cousin Tilly, who I honestly don't remember. Ruth, Dakin. All right.
Yeah, I think we're good.
And 100 other cast
members. Yeah.
All right. So, you guys want to jump into the best lines and worst lines of this?
Well, first we got to say what we're drinking and smoking.
Okay.
I'm going to cut in for a minute, guys. I think we're going to like take a minute right now to decompress a little bit. We got some. I brought some whiskey here for us to enjoy together. Today I brought a 12-year aged Irish whiskey, a single pot still called Red Breast, and like it's probably my favorite Irish whiskey of like.
That's Irish whiskey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like David can't have any right now because he's got to drive in the morning, but.
I think we're going to call this segment like Rollies and 40s or something. It's like we're smoking stuff and drinking stuff.
I know. I brought some cigars too, but we're recording inside the house right now, so we can't really light up.
But we are like in our Hugh Hefner jackets and sandals and slippers and stuff.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Back in my day.
I'm not wearing any underwear.
How do you guys like the drinks?
Well, this is the first time I've had it, and I'm kind of a virgin to drinking altogether, so got to get exposed to
the nicer hard liquor first.
I think I'm gonna like borrow my like with some whiskeys from my brother, cause he's got like literally like shelves full of like $200, $300, $400 whiskeys.
Fuck.
I know. Yeah. So,
how'd you guys like it though? You guys like it?
I love it. It's like I said, it was probably my favorite. It's really smooth. You know, it's got like notes of like cherry and
So they probably have the barrels made out of cherry wood, right? And then it soaks into the is that how it works probably?
Yeah, there's like there is kind of like a malting like the way they like let it mature and like age, you know, like it.
Yeah, Peter and I did not drink like at all growing up. So I'm drinking Bud Light. like not tonight, but I drink Bud Light and I'm like I drink one beer and like people are laughing at me because I'm like walking funny. Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of really naive, of course, but this is really smooth. And like I said, I'm naive. It feels like the distillery did like amazing on it, you know?
Yeah,
and it smells great. It's smooth.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are gonna be looking good by the time I'm done with this.
All right, let's
move on.
Move on from that awkward statement. All right, so we'll go with the best lines and worst lines of this movie. We'll go ahead and start with Chris. What was your best line of this movie.
All right, so my best line, it was really hard to pick out this best line, because I watched the movie and I'm like sitting there like my pen on my paper, you know, like I got my eyes peeled, my ears like perked up. I'm all like, because I watched this movie about like 5 or 6 times, probably more than that. And
over how long of a time? Okay,
last week. Over about a week. Okay. And so, yeah, pretty much every day since I started watching it. But like I said, like I was like, the first few times I realized, you know what? There is a lot of amazing writing in this movie. It's going to be hard for me to pick out. And so like I watched the movie, like trying to pick one out. And finally, I just kind of like, I wrote something down that kind of hit close to me.
Okay.
Just because I never really had like, you know, the most like healthiest relationship with my dad. So like in my head, just because probably because I have daddy issues, like I gotta go with the line that George Bailey, when he's talking to his dad,
I wonder if this is the same line as mine.
So what's the line?
Pop, you want a shock? I think you're a great guy.
That's my favorite line.
Are you serious? Yeah.
It really is. I have it written down right here.
All right. So why is it your favorite then?
Just because, you know, like I had like I never really like played catch with my dad, you know, growing up. Yeah. He never sat me down and like, you know, gave me a pat on the back and like told me he loved me, or like I hate to like break down and like turn this episode into like a mental health session.
That's what the whole movie is, though. It's really relatable.
Yeah, it is. And so like I just picked out something that I wish I could have experienced, you know, growing up.
Okay. Pure, why is that your favorite line?
This is my favorite line for a lot of reasons. For one, they're not even really looking at each other. Like breaking it down, you have the father looking in one direction and the son sitting like 90 degrees to the right. And men, they don't really sit face to face like women do. These guys are kind of going back and talking, and they don't want to hurt each other's feelings. George Bailey's saying, "Dad, I want to get out of here," and the dad's saying, "You know, it's more about my life's work is important, even though it's pennies and dimes." You know.
Yeah, I think he offended him kind of like unintentionally. Yeah. You know, he might not have even been offended by it, but I think George Bailey sang that line because he said, like, you remember what he says before that?
Yeah, he's, you know, he's getting like, somebody a home with a fireplace.
No, he says, like, George Bailey, the son, says, like, I can't spend my life in this stuffy little, like, office on counting nickels and dimes, you know? Yeah. And that I don't think that hurted his father, but he was so embarrassed that it made, like, I think that's why he said your guys' favorite line, because he does love his dad and he does think that of his dad. Even when as a child, he stood up to Mr. Potter. He's like, "My dad's the shit and you ain't nothing." Remember? Yeah. He's like pushing him.
It's 10 times the man you are, or something
like that. Yeah.
But it's my favorite line for a lot of reasons. One of them is it's kind of uncommon for just men to compliment each other. And in that scene, it's very awkward for them to even say it to each other. And their blood, you know? Yeah. It's his son. You got to shock that. I think, what does he say? I think you're a great guy. Or is he saying, how does he say?
He's not like, I think you're a great man.
Oh, yeah, I think you're a great guy. And it's not like a huge compliment, but it's coming from the heart, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. To me, like, it didn't really, like, have as much awkwardness as maybe, like, well, maybe taking the whole conversation into account, like it probably is a little bit of awkwardness because he did kind of like insult him a little bit, you know. And I just think that they have such a comfortable relationship with each other. Yeah. That's why I kind of think that it didn't really like come out as awkward as maybe like we assume, you know.
Yeah, I'll take back the awkwardness, but more of it was like a big deal.
Yeah.
Because even the help was like, it's about time somebody said, you know, said something like that.
Yeah.
But it was a very heartfelt moment, and you could tell by their relationship how much they care for each other.
Yeah.
How much they admire each other, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, and David's best line.
All right. My best line is at the end of the movie, after he runs back to the bridge, and he's crying, and he says,
"Help me, Clarence, please! Please! I want to live again! I want to live again! I want to live again! Please, God, let me live again!"
I think, like, a lot of people in this world cry every time they see that scene. Because I cry, like, every time I see that scene. I will, like, rewind it and play it and then cry again. It's, like, it's so good. It's so, like, I understand everything that he's going through. And, like, I don't know. It's just...
You fucking wussy. I'm just kidding.
I did cry. Yeah. Did you cry this movie? I got choked up. But I didn't cry. Not at that part. No, just... I think if I had watched this movie, like, 5 or 6 years ago, before I started having, like, complications with religion and my family issues, you know, I think definitely I would have, like, cried, like, hands down, you know, like, bawling my eyes out. But being the experienced man, I'll say it that way. I kind of, like, you know, I saw, like, a little bit of cheese, you know, like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, real quick. So, this movie, there's a lot of depth in it. I think at times it's very silly. I think it's a lot of times it's very serious.
The whole angel scene was
yeah, whenever Clarence is in the, it starts off, but the movie starts off with a lot of people
praying.
Yeah. Like, and that's that really, like, this movie, the whole, like, the first 5 minutes grabs you and does not let go. Until, like, it shows Jimmy Stewart as a grown person. Like, I'm just going to throw this in as, like, after it shows him as a kid, and then when he gets the poison pills, that's a very serious thing. His boss's son just died, and he's weeping in the back room. That's a big deal. And then he runs to his father, and introduces Mr. Potter, and introduces his uncle, and introduces his dad. And then, like, it just holds on to. Did you guys see the scene when all the boys are walking in the street, like, holding each other's arms?
Yeah.
And the car behind them is like, "Get the fuck out of the street!" Yeah. You catch that? Yeah. It's so funny. I didn't see that until this review of watching it. I didn't see those guys in the back just like, "Get out of the street!" Like,
there's a lot so of funny. Like, yeah. There's, like, so much nuance to this movie. Like, you literally have to go back and watch it multiple times. And you, like, catch new details, like, every time you watch it.
Yeah, I think the beginning, to me, is just so specifically tight. It's so wound together. I think it's a little bit looser and flatter a little bit later on. But, all right.
So, best scenes? Worst scenes?
Worst lines.
Yeah.
And the way... If you're this new listener, or if we haven't described it properly before, the worst lines can be something that you think was a mistake, stupid, or just something that you don't like, or however you want to describe worst. All right, so Chris, what was your worst line?
Yeah, I'll say, like, I'm glad you kind of gave that description, you know, of, like, what this is about, because, like, this line... There's so much great writing in this movie. It was almost impossible for me to, like, pick out a worse line. But because you said, like, you know, like, something that you felt like could have been, like, changed differently, or, like, just didn't appreciate as much as, like, it just kind of, like, went under the radar, you know? Like, it didn't really do it for me. But the line where George Bailey's daughter, at the very end...
Yeah.
When she says,
"Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings."
Well, like. I don't know why. Like, that just sounded
it's too
like,
cheesy.
It's too cheesy for me. Yeah. So that was my worst line.
That was your worst line?
Yeah.
It was like a pound of cheese, and I just sprinkled a little bit extra on top. Yeah. Right there. All right, Beer, what do you think of that worst line? Do you have a problem with that? Or?
No, it's just a kid, you know? Yeah. It's a kid believing in everything, you know? It didn't bug me.
I'll have a problem with that. Honestly. All right. You want to move up here? What was your worst line of this movie?
I don't have a worst line. Like I said, I was trying really hard to find one, but I don't think anything bugs me that was said. I'll say off the top of my head though, is that the angel kind of bugged me a little bit, but
nothing too silly. Like just too silly, or
no? Yeah, maybe a little too silly, but I didn't dislike him, I guess. Yeah, okay. I don't have a worst thing.
All right. I don't know if you guys remember this part, but when he's walking home after, like, the graduation party, they had jumped in the pool. Oh, so this is my worst line. Okay. After they're walking home and they're, like, singing and, like, hanging out together, he says something like, he says something to Mary. Or he's like, you look, compliments her some way. And like she says, too old or too young.
Yeah.
It was like, she's 18 years old. You know, it's like, she's asking if she's too old for him. And like, I don't know if that was played for laughs or if it was serious.
I think it was serious because back in those days, like, they didn't have the
statutory rape.
Yeah.
Or just maybe, how old do you think he was? Like 20. He was supposed to be 22 at that point, like 4 years older than her.
Yeah.
Maybe it was completely acceptable for a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
To, I don't know. But, like, or, if, I don't know. That was my worst line.
Yeah, I could see that.
Since you're talking about that, do you guys remember in the dance where the floor started opening up?
Yeah.
That was cool, right?
I love that. Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, do you remember the guy that, what's her name? Was it Mary?
Yeah.
That she was with? Yeah. And then, do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Who is
it? It's Alfalfa from the original Little Rascals.
Really?
Yeah, it's cool. If you next time you watch it, check
that's it crazy. Out. Like, you'll I thought he looked familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very distinct.
He's really silly in this movie. Hey! Yeah. All right. So that's all the best lines and worst lines?
Yep.
All right, we're moving along. All right, so Chris, what was your favorite or best scene of this movie?
So my favorite scene, it was like I was saying before, this movie can be broken up into like 6 or 7 like detailed like scenes, and all of them are like just as important as the other ones, you know. So it was really difficult for me to like pick out a favorite scene, but I picked this one just because it has a lot going on in this scene. There's like almost a riot going on. You know, you got like a wedding going on. You have, you know, characters like flip their wig, you know, and just go crazy.
Oh,
what scene?
It was the scene where George and Mary, or where the building and loan cash advance scene.
Yeah.
So it was right after George Bailey and Mary get married,
yeah,
and they're about to drive off, and then everybody's rushing to the bank, and he's all like wondering what's going on, and so he goes in, and you see like all these people, they're like so desperate, you know, they're all like, oh, like I need money right now, you know, like, oh, what's the bank gonna do, you know, like, it took a while, like it took a couple watches too to kind of figure out exactly what was going on, like, because through the first experience, you know, like I was just like, why the hell are all these people wanting their money? It's not like it's the Great Depression or some shit or what. Like, I know it took place after it, but
yeah, for now, this is an educated guess. It's like all of our savings and checking accounts are guaranteed up to like $100,000.
Yeah.
That's like, so we don't go into a depression. But at that time, I think it was possible for you to lose all of your money.
It wasn't insured.
Yeah.
So what part of it was your favorite? Because there was so much just going on?
Or? Yeah, yeah. There was, like, you know, like, the people, they were so, like, desperate in their time of need. They were needing the cash. You saw the...
We're just scared, George, too, right? They're just scared.
Yeah, yeah. They just wanted, you know, to hold something secure into their hands, you know? Like, they knew they had, you know, they didn't really know, like, what was going to be, you know, what was going to happen in a week's time. So they needed that, like, security in their hands, like, then and there. And then you have, like, George Bailey, who's, like, he just walks into it. You know, he walks into the situation, and he doesn't really understand fully, but he's smart enough to know, you know, like, shit, I got to do something, or else, there's, you know, everything that my dad built is going to go under.
That's crazy, because, like, his uncle locked the doors and is hiding in the back room drinking.
Yeah.
Because of the same exact problem that George Bailey is facing. And George Bailey is going to get on the bull and do as best as he can, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, one of the my favorite parts of that scene is when he tells his customers, he says, "Don't you remember what it was like living in that slum? Don't you remember? That's exactly what we're all going to have to deal with if you give in.
I don't have your money here. It's in Bob's house."
Yeah, yeah.
That's my favorite part. So there's lots of parts in this movie where George Bailey is desperately trying to describe his situation to other people so they can... Because he doesn't want to be here at all.
No,
he just wants to get on the train and never come back.
Yeah.
But he just wants these people not to be taken advantage of. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's got too much of a good heart to just, like, walk away from the situation. And, you know, luckily his wife, because I'm pretty sure he wanted to, like, he had the idea maybe of, like, giving away the money that he had, but he didn't want to do it because it was his wife's wedding. But until the wife said, like, I got the money. Yeah.
And she even said, "Don't stop, let's go."
Yeah.
Like, he gets out of the car and he runs back.
Yeah.
What do you think about that scene, Peter?
It's a great scene. It's kind of a shame they don't have scenes like that anymore these days, because it is a very well thought out scene.
Yeah, you know?
And it's very heartfelt, and there's not a lot of scenes like that these days.
It's smart. It's acted well. Like, George Bailey is like, "Can't you see what's going on? Can't you see?" You know, I mean, it's such. All right. So, all right, Chris, what was your worst scene of this movie?
Okay, so my worst scene has to be the where George and Mary, when they first kiss and fall in love.
Oh, yeah? You didn't like that?
Oh, my God. I despise that scene, man.
He's like, "I don't want anything. I want it all." Or was he yelling at her?
Yeah. Like, he's like, because he's, like, already frustrated, like, going into her house. Like, he's already in a sour mood. And then...
But he likes her. You know,
he does like her. But for him to just, on the flip of a dime, just, like go from, like, angry to, like, madly in love. Like, and then the way they transition into the wedding, like, right afterwards. I'm all like, you could have done a better job of, like, you know, transitioning than that.
So you hated it because...
Do you hate it, first off?
I just don't like the fact that he, like...
Completely switched?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They could have, like, stretched it out, like, a little bit more, you know, just so that he can calm down and, like, you know, gather his thoughts. And then, like, I'm like, I kind of understood, like, where it was going, you know? Like, it was, like, almost, like... Like, easy-handed, you know? Like, I knew it was coming, but the execution just wasn't there for me.
What do you think of that scene?
I like it. I like it because she's trying to make him jealous, you know?
Was she trying to make him jealous?
Yeah, well, she got mad. Yeah. At first, she was trying to...
Sam?
Right, yeah. Well,
I don't think that's the mom.
Well, I'm trying to say, at first, she was trying to get Bailey to like her. And then... She got a little pissed off, and then she started talking to her boyfriend, who, by the way, had, like, a girl just...
I know!
I was like, fuck. That was...
She looked like a showgirl or something.
Yeah, but I have a soft spot for those old movies where, like the guy just grabs the girl by the shoulders and shakes him. Yeah. And he kisses him, you know? Yeah. Because it's so nostalgic. I kind of like that in the...
It kind of like feels like a Gone with the Wind like type of like love scene or some shit.
Yeah, but I like it because it is a little complex too. You know, there's a lot of mixed feelings in it, you know? And
yeah.
Kind of like...
It was like a complex scene, you know? So many scenes are like that, you know, in this movie. Like you got like, you know, you got the mom, you got Sam, you got Mary, you got George. They're all like intertwining in this one scene where they've, you know, it's supposed to be the moment of like where he like changes like trajectory of his life, you know, like he's supposed to be going like leaving town, you know.
I like the part too where they're sharing the telephone, you know?
Yeah.
And they're forced like, to be close to each other.
That was actually like kind of nice.
You know, and she's kind of like, well, they're very both emotional. And she just asks him, what do you want? Or what does she say? Is that what she says? What do you want? He's asking what you want or something like that.
Yeah.
I like that scene.
So for me, so the last time they saw each other was when she was naked in the bush, right? So like, and they were singing to each other. He offered her the moon. And then like, they come back. So I really watched it. Like I tried to watch everything this last time. And when he walks into the house, she's so happy that he's there. She has this portrait of the moon.
Yeah.
She has the song that they were listening. They were singing to each other. You know, I mean, she thought that they were going to pick up from where they had left off.
She was trying really hard.
I didn't think that she ever like thought that it was going to go badly. And then the phone call comes and the crazy mom in her nightgown runs up and down the stairs 3 times and they're sharing the phone and his friend, well, I forget the guy's name, Sam, like while that lady's walking, while the lady in real time is walking around, that showgirl or that rich lady, he's like, are you trying to steal my girl? And he's like shooing the other girl away. Yeah. But the reason that I think, because he does love her, but I didn't think he was in love with her until he broke her heart. Like, he broke her heart by saying, like, I don't want you. I don't want you at all. I want
to do what I want to do.
Yeah, and then, like, he sees how much she loved him, and then I think he fell in love with her because of how much she loves him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's my take on it.
So did you like it?
I really like that scene. And I'm sure you guys picked this up, but do you remember when they're throwing stones at the window in the house?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you guys know what she wished for. Right?
She says it. That's what I wished.
Did she say at the end or something?
I think she said that like in the middle. Or when they get to the house. I think when they walk into the house.
Do you know what I'm talking about though, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That was her really throwing the rock and actually did hit a window too. I don't know if you guys know that.
Really?
Like that was the actress throwing the rock into the house.
And it hit a window.
Yeah, and it hit. Yeah, like on the first time.
That's cool.
Like if I was a single dude, I was George Bailey portraying this, Jimmy Stewart portraying this character. It's such like a romance. Like I think I'd like marry the chick that was in it. It's like such a good romance, you know what I mean? I don't know. All right, Peter, what was your favorite or best scene of this movie?
Okay, so my favorite scene is the typical, probably a lot of people's favorite scene, the ending, where he goes home, and then it's probably the most modern day miracle you could have is a whole community of people coming to help. You know?
Yeah. That's not gonna happen.
I know.
Well, like if you go like on GoFundMe, there are things that people do
help
each other, you know.
Yeah.
And it's my favorite scene because the bank really fucked up. Really fucking bad, right?
Yeah.
Specifically the uncle.
Yeah. But they fucked up tremendously. And these days when somebody fucks up, there's a lot of blame, you know, and that scene, everybody knows him. He helped people get houses. He helped the whole community play, like his whole life. He was doing like the night guard where he's walking around to make sure all the lights are off so the city doesn't get bombed, you know? Everybody knows him. Nobody's blaming each other. They show up and they help, you know? Yeah. And that doesn't happen, you know? That's what I'm saying. It's a modern day miracle. And it's unfortunate that that's how it is these days, where there's just a lot of blame, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of judgment. Another, because I always got to say more than one scene. Another one that I like.
That one, we're saving that for like the, was the deep dives. Okay. Well,
I just want to forget it. Is
he's lucky he's editing this episode.
Or I can just say it if you want.
I'm just kidding.
Another one that I liked a lot was George Bailey is extremely relatable to a lot of people. I like the scene where his buddy comes back after he helps another friend get a house. You know, and the wife gives a speech of like, oh, you know, may you always flow with wine and here's the bread, for, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Salt, so you can always have
flavor.
Yeah. It's the part where he has a shitty car and his friend's rolling in cash.
Yeah, I like that part because, you know, sometimes I feel like that, you know, and it's really relatable. Somebody, you know, it's human nature to not...
be a little jealous. He's a little jealous.
Well, he is jealous, but that is a flaw in people where, like, hey, you know, you shouldn't... I try not to go, like, to have those thoughts, you know? But I like that scene because it showed his flaw.
His wife, Mary, is completely content with her life because that's what she wanted. He never wanted that life, though. So he's unhappy because he didn't get what he wanted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's okay for him to be upset, you know what I mean?
Well, I think everybody is, even no matter how much money you have, but I like that scene because it had a lot of emotion in it. It's real.
So what was the first one?
The ending where the whole community comes together, dump a whole bunch of fucking money in his house.
What did you think about his his
that favorite? Was almost my worst scene.
Why?
No way.
Why? Just because it was like so unrealistic.
There's everyone showing up for him?
Yeah.
Okay, let me say something real quick. Like, I've called both of you guys to help me. You know, and you guys don't ask. You guys show up and you fucking help me.
Yeah.
Whether it's something for my car or my house or my kids. You know, and sometimes I fuck up and you guys show up and you don't ask questions, you just do it.
Yeah. Know?
But
that
I guess just because it was like money. It was like money, you know.
Emptying their
like
pockets.
Yeah. You know, like, nobody does that. Like, people will you know, lend a helping hand before they, like, open their pocketbook, you know?
Well, if it was a whole community, they don't have to give a lot. Just if it was everybody, right?
Yeah.
Helping out.
I know,
which would be,
weird
like,
because,
the modern-day miracle, you know?
Like,
did you hate it the first time you watched that scene? Or did you hate it? Did you dislike it?
I kind of disliked the whole, like, after, like, Clarence pops up, and then it starts going off into the, you know,
alternative Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't like any of that?
Well, I just disliked it because I have an issue with religion and God and the God interfering in man's life. Like, how can he, like, help one man when there's, like, a whole world suffering? You know, like, it kind of irked me, you know?
Okay. I like that scene a lot. I like it a lot because his friends do show up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, just like Peter said, there, I probably have, I would be really interested to see how many people show up for me. Because, like, I do have some really good friends, and, like, I would really, like it says, like, no man is alone if he has friends or something like that at the end of it.
Yeah.
It's super cheesy and super whatever, but there's a long stretch of my life where all I did was, like, put my nose to the grindstone and work and hardly talk, like, which was a horrible way to live. But, like, I spend more time now trying to develop, like, priceless relationships with people, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I do gotta say, like, I think that's, like, the part you dislike, like, the Twilight Zone part of this, is kind of, like, it's, I like it because it shows, even though he thought of himself as a failure, but he still had a profound, like,
effect
on everyone's life that he touched, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'll wait for the deep dive, you know, because I have a lot to say about this issue.
Here's one thing that's really funny is, like, it's such a horrible thing that in the alternate life that his wife was a, like, an old maid librarian.
I know, there's no way.
She's like, no! Like, she wasn't, like, all drugged up or an alcoholic or married to some man that was beating her. She was an old maid that had her, like, sit at the library and lock up.
And then his mom was just, like, a cranky old hag, kind of.
Yeah, that was really funny, though.
Yeah.
like, he's holding him. He's like, what happened to Mary? She's an old maid. Ah! He, like, runs off. It was ridiculous. Like, I'm sorry to any ladies out there that are, like, single old maids and they're listening to this review. Your life is not shit. Just good.
And worst scenes.
Right? Okay. My best scene in this movie, it was Peter's one that he gave. So my runner-up one is going to be the one where he realizes that he is in the Twilight Zone. Like the angel Israel. And he runs to, like, the camera and he's just looking over the whole town. And he's like, oh, shit. He's like, just like his facial expression. He, like, pans across, like, the length of the lens. And it's like, if we did it and tried to be serious, it would look stupid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, he just pulls it off so great. I can't imagine someone else being able to pull that scene off, you know what I mean? It's awesome. It's so good. All right.
And your worst scene.
All right, my worst scene. I've seen this movie a lot of times. And I actually skipped it for this review because it is my worst scene. And it's not a scene that should not be in the movie. And I don't hate it, but I don't like watching it because the uncle is so fucking stupid. He's so stupid. He drops $8,000, which in modern day time is probably $8 million.
It's probably $8 million.
It might be $8 million.
Might be like...
If a house is like... I don't know how much that
like, is. I'm curious, like 300,000 or something. If a house is like 5 G's, I don't know.
Yeah. It was stupid. Like.
Have you ever known somebody like that, though? You ever
known
somebody
like I've that? Never known someone that stupid to be in that high of a position. You know what I mean? Like, that, like, he's such an incompetent idiot. It's not, like, obviously it's really important and the movie would not work without it. But he's such an idiot that, like, I was just like, pick it up, you fucking idiot. It's right there in front of you. You know what I mean?
I used to work with somebody just like that.
He's always dropping $8,000 all over the
place. No, they probably did some worse stuff than that.
Oh, my God. Bad person. He's just incompetent.
He's incompetent.
And it's, if George Bailey does not get him out of that fucking place, out of that position. Again. It's gonna happen 5 more times. This is probably the 5th time it happened in the community. Y'all came back and helped him out.
Well, you know, he shouldn't have that job. He's gotta look at his hand to remind him to do things.
Yeah, he's tying strings so he doesn't forget. And it's like I said, it's important. It's supposed to be in there. I just hate the fact. I don't even, like. It's just like. I'm just yelling at the screen, you know what I mean? Like, you loser, you idiot.
He played it good.
He's a good actor.
He did play it really well.
Yeah. And that's like I said it's not that I believe it makes the movie worse. I just hate watching that part, which is very strange to say.
Yeah.
All right, so that's our best scenes and worst scenes in the movie.
Do you have time?
Oh, I got a couple of funny questions for you, okay? I already said the Mary, the old maid. Do you think that was a horrible existence for her to be a librarian?
Well, I would say that I could see like how he would be depressed if she never experienced like raising children and loving somebody.
And she looked pretty good for having 4 kids, right?
Yeah.
She looked really good.
Well, you know what I'm saying though? From him as like her lover and seeing that, you know, that's what she wanted, you know?
I truly believe I could
be depressing.
Happy librarian. Because what do you think that's a horrible existence for her?
You know what? I used to know a guy that I used to work with at the school district, and he was a single guy. He was in his 50s. I won't say his name because I still think he's, you know, a depressed, like, little child. Like, living his lonely life.
Was he a librarian?
No, he wasn't a librarian, but we used to work together in the school district. And, you know, he didn't have any kids. He told me he never had a girlfriend. He never had anybody to fall in love with. Sad. I know, it is sad. And I'm all like, in my mind, I was thinking like, man, this guy must have the most miserable life ever. But from what he told me, he said he enjoys his life like completely and fully. Like, he's always getting to travel.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't have to answer to anybody. He doesn't have to, like, get into fights with anybody. He's, like, completely at peace with what his, like, lifestyle is.
Well, but back in, you know, when this movie was made, I don't know what year it was made, but, like, that was
stereotypical.
Stereotypical woman who, you know, gets married and is a homebody.
Why'd she go to college for? I'm not saying that she should not have a unfulfilling life. I'm saying this movie is saying that you should not be like an old single woman or that's a fucking demon life. Right? I thought that was really... I always laugh at that part. Yeah. All right. And I already brought up Uncle Billy. Do you guys think he was a fucking idiot or no?
Totally.
Well, yeah, he's meant to be.
Was he drunk all the time too? Most of the time or half the time or
probably half the time.
A pretty funny line from him is when he says, George is finally gonna go to college when they vote him in, but they're like what's going on in there? He's like, oh, they're gonna close the business. Easy come, easy go. It's only 25 years of my life. All right, guys, you wanna jump into deep dive? Deep dive time?
Yeah. So just gonna like go into the heavy stuff. I wrote down a lot of notes, you know, like this movie has great writing, you know, it has a good flow, you know, a lot of the acting, that we saw in this movie is like so well done, but at the same time, it's like almost, I don't know if this movie like did actors act that way in every movie back then, or is
because what do you mean? How so?
Like
in which way?
It was, you know how I was telling you earlier that this movie like felt like a play or like a theater act, you know, that was recorded.
Seems like they tried a lot harder back then.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is that just the style of acting that they had back then?
I mean, nowadays
there's no script. You know, it seems like there's like
nowadays the writers are treated horribly. And you get characters in movies that are meant for one thing. Like in like a lot of movies, you'll have the guy that's only supposed to like talk shit in the movie. You know what I mean? You get one guy. So like the writing had to be good in the old days because they didn't have explosions and airplanes coming out of the sky. They didn't have cool shit to just visually stimulate you.
Yeah. Yeah, so
this is a 1946 movie. Sorry,
I know. Yeah, it was. It felt like a 1946. You know,
is
like,
that bad or good or
a little bit of both? You know.
Okay.
Like it was good just because
You know, I think they could have cut out that intro.
You didn't like the praying?
No, not the praying, but the space nebula, the nebula and the fucking and the galaxy speaking to each other.
Yeah. And the star just
yeah. I think they could have cut that whole shit out, man. Like it would have been just a fine, perfectly fine movie. Like,
but if they don't, if they cut that out, you want just the angel out completely out of the whole movie?
No, like they could have like how they were talking in or how like the praying scene. It was kind of like just like city shots, yeah, you know.
That's true.
They could have done something like that, like kind of narration yeah. over like city shots.
It jumps from like very serious to comical.
Yeah.
And then back to serious.
Yeah.
It's crazy because there's.
It's lighthearted.
It jumps from very serious to lighthearted, yeah. and then back to very serious, back and forth. Which I don't know if I've seen a movie that was this like childish at sometimes. Like I don't believe a kid should probably watch this movie. I think my kid will cry when they're smacking the boy. You know, and stuff like that,
making his ear bleed and shit.
Yeah, that's a pretty it's a pretty sad scene. Yeah,
don't hit my
bumpers. Yeah, my bad ear.
Yeah.
All right.
And this is crazy, like. This movie, like, does, like, a really good job of balancing, like, comedy with seriousness, you know, and drama and all that.
Like, if this was a Disney movie, then, like, George Bailey would be flawless. He has lots of flaws in this movie.
Yeah, he wanted to take off with that girl.
Yeah, and, like, you know? Like, he gets mad at his uncle. He yells at him and says he's going to prison. He tears shit up in his house. He picks a fight with the teacher, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, so what else you got, Chris?
Okay, so I'm just going to go into the meat and potatoes of my my issues with this movie, which is basically that you, in order to, like, solve all your problems, you need to, like, get down and pray. You need to have, like, God in your life. If you don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and your Savior, then you don't get, like, all the bennies, you know, of that life that life has to offer.
Okay.
I'm like, to me, like, I kind of had, like, a falling out with God. You know, I don't got nothing against Jesus. I don't know how you guys, like, separate Jesus and God. Like, if you think they're one and the same or, like, separate. But, yeah, I just had issues, like, over the past, like, 4 or 5 years of my life where I realized that God is not coming to, like, rescue me. Like, he's not gonna, like, show up with a bag of money at my door. He's not gonna... you know, put my kids through college. You know, he's not going to save my marriage. He's not going to do anything like that, you know. And in this movie, that's what it portrays. That what it gives you, like, a false sense of hope, you know. Like, unless you, like, bow down and, like, pray to God, then, you know, you're shit out of luck. And I really, like, took issue with that, you know. I don't know, what did you guys think?
It is a Christmas movie. I mean, it is a Christmas movie. So it does have, of course, Christianity in it.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like,
could you really consider this a Christmas movie, though? Even though, like, one-tenth of the movie takes place during Christmas?
That's true. Well, okay, so, it is, I'd say, a Christian movie, I guess, because it does have angels.
Yeah.
But let me ask you something real quick. I'm playing devil's advocate, okay?
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, so if you're watching a movie and this movie was like about like something I know nothing about, like Buddhists and their religion, and it was tied into that, or if it was like I don't know, like any other religion, would you
find an issue?
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to say.
You know what, like years ago, like, back when I was still, like, a believer in God, like, I read you know, the Bible, like, you know, cover to cover.
Did you feel this?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's rough, huh?
I read that a couple times.
Oh, man.
And then I read the Talmud. I read the, what's the Arab Bible called?
I forget. The Iran or the...
The Quran.
Quran.
Yeah. I read that, like, cover to cover. Like, I read all these books on religion. I was trying to find out, like, okay, like, if I need God in my life, you know, like, what exactly do I need to do to, like, you know, be a good, like, believer in God? And in my head, like, God was, like, up here. All the religions were, like, down here, and they all, like, filtered into the same God, you know? Like, okay. I believed that, like, all the religions were basically, like, one in the same, and we all believed into with this one God, you know? Even though, technically, like, most of them don't. Like, they all have, like, different...
So you were naive.
Yeah.
Or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, you know... I pretty much, like, after reading everything and, like, taking into account, like, all the, you know, so many people, like, believe in this religion, so many other people that religion, and then, like, the rest of the world was this religion, like, I couldn't really, you know, what do I want to say?
Justify, like, believing in
something? Yeah, like,
I'm sorry. Should not have said
that. No, like, it's basically what I'm trying to say, you know, like, I guess, like, if I have to put, like, Christianity on a, like, on the chopping block, then I got to put them all on the chopping block, you know?
Yeah, so you looked for answers and you got more questions than answers?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
let me say something about this movie real quick, and then...
Well, that's what I was going to ask, like... Do you think you could watch any movie that tied in religion the way that this does and enjoy it? That's what I'm trying to ask.
I think I would take issue with it.
Okay.
All right, so let me ask something. Okay. The way that I perceive this movie as... Okay.
Sorry, can I just say one more thing? No. I'm sorry. have you guys ever seen the movie Knowing?
I don't remember.
Which one's that one?
It's the one with Nicolas Cage where like the end of the world is coming.
That's a scary...
Oh, yeah. I've read the book. I didn't watch them.
Yeah.
Is that he's an airplane? Is it the airplane?
No. You're thinking about
Left Behind. End of Days. I was thinking of Left Behind.
Yeah.
Okay, no.
Yeah, that one's scary.
Yeah.
The end is scary.
Yeah.
Is it a Christian movie?
Yeah, basically.
Well, don't give it away to our listeners, but what about it?
I was just going to say that, like, I take issue with that movie as much as I take issue with...
That's a good.
And I'm trying to, like, compare apples to apples.
Okay.
You know?
So let me say something on this movie. I believe that had the angel not come down from heaven and showed him everything, and if George Bailey had jumped in the river and died, all of those people would have still showed up and gave all of their money to him, not knowing that he had been dead. I believe that the angel came down from heaven to show George Bailey what he already had, that he was throwing away, if that makes sense. I don't think that they gave him anything except insight, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Do you get what I'm trying to say for you?
Yeah.
Like, he was ready to give away... All the three of us sitting here at the Three Amigos Movie Review Podcast Studio, we all have very different interpretations of religion and very strong feelings. Like, me and Peter disagree on a lot of things, but we completely respect each other and we respect all of our listeners' beliefs. And we would never say anyone's right or wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think if we continue that conversation, it'll be a 20-hour podcast.
Well, off of that note, like, I don't want to say anything to offend anybody, and we're not going to get in an argument. But I'm really.
But that is like a bonus episode.
Yeah, it is. But maybe at the same time, like, before we go any further, I'm gonna say, like, I respect your guys' opinions, like, way on the top, like 100%. Yeah. Okay. And like.
Which one do you respect more?
But it is like, so we'll leave it there. So go ahead with your deep dive, Chris.
Okay, so what was the other thing?
Try not to talk crap to Chris because he has a knife on him.
Clearly invisible. I have two knives on me right now. He's been drinking. Yeah, I just had not big issue, but like a problem with the love story between George Bailey
and Mary.
Okay. Yeah, like it was just too unrealistic for me, you know. Like I think when I think of a love story, probably just because of my past experiences. Like, have you guys ever seen The Revolutionary Road?
No.
With Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet.
Oh, I don't remember
it. I thought I saw it with you, Peter.
You might have.
What happens in that? Then?
So basically, like, Leonardo, like, cheats on his wife. He, like, they, like, talk about, like, Levy starting a new life. And then they, like, go back and forth. And they just, like, argue and argue. And then eventually, like, you know, they get into this huge argument where they, like, finally separate, you know.
Okay.
And so, to me, that is more realistic of what, like, today's, like, relationships are like, you know, like, it's not all, like, gumdrops and rainbows, you know? And in this movie, it portrays, like, your wife as being, like, the most honest and loving and flawless, understanding.
Like, well, yeah. She did get pissed at him, though, in the movie.
I would almost say that she was selfish because she knew exactly what he wanted and just wishing that he wouldn't get his wish was like really messed up, right?
But she does get pissed at him when he leaves, right? Towards the end of the movie?
Yeah, but I see
I thought she was yelling at the kids, right? I don't think she got pissed.
No?
I'm sure she was upset, but she didn't tell him to leave. Or she did say, like, why don't you just... And then he's like, all right, I'm out of here. I can see what you're saying. It's an unrealistic relationship.
Yeah, completely, totally.
I didn't have too much of a problem with it, but okay.
It is like a nice imagining, you know, of like,
is it,
every time you watch this movie, you're about like, oh man, like I'm going to treat my wife with the most respect and I'm going to like live the most happiest life. If I do everything I saw in this movie.
No, like, he was very depressed.
He was very depressed in this movie.
His whole life was depressing.
You know? Yeah. Yeah,
All right, what else you got?
And you think, like, well, I was just going to say, like, you would think that, like, you know, after a while of, like, witnessing your husband, like, not loving his life, you know, like, you think she would have just left, you know?
Or just, like, let him go on a vacation. He just wants to go on a vacation. One.
Or make him go on a vacation.
Yes, something like kill Potter and let him go on vacation.
Kill
you know
Potter.
What I mean? Like, good Lord.
Oh,
yeah, you got Chris.
I love the fact that they made George Bailey a smoker in this movie.
Yeah,
like, the first time he pops out, like, when he, like, strikes the match on the floor.
On the stairs.
Yeah.
The
steps or whatever. I immediately, like, popped out a cigarette and started smoking one, too. I'm like, I'm with you. I'm with you, man.
Everyone. 1946.
Yeah,
doctors
that's
were
true.
Prescribing it, I believe.
Oh my god!
They seriously were, right, Peter?
I don't know.
You heard that? They're like, yeah, just smoke more cigarettes. All right, Chris, what's the next one?
All right, I just wonder why the doctor had like a huge bottle of poison, like next to
I think he was just like a general store, and he was like, it was for rats and stuff too.
Like, yeah, it took a while for me to like
right
understand
next to
the whole thing.
Right
yeah,
in
the
pharmacy. All right, what's the next one? At least it was labeled. Good Lord.
Well, he said that, right? It was such a good scene, though, wasn't it?
It was a great scene.
Yeah,
it was a great scene.
And the old man, I don't remember his name in the movie, but
yeah,
he just lost his son. He's drunk.
The picture of his son is kind of funny, though. You know what I mean? Like, he just sits there and he's fawning over the picture. It's like pointing to the camera, like in the back room. It looked kind of funny.
Yeah, but like,
it is a great
scene. It's a great, great scene. You know, and then George Bailey goes out there, ask your dad, on the sign.
Ad,
ask dad, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and the advertisement for cigarettes.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, that whole scene, like, and like all the others that we've mentioned, like, along this whole podcast, like, they just have so many layers, you know? It's not just one scene with, like, two people talking to each other. And you can make a great scene out of that. But this movie went to the next level, you know, and, like, brought in extra characters, brought in, like, a whole set, like, a whole, like, background, like, interacting with and, like, doing their own things, you know?
I think they introduced everyone. I felt like they wrote down a scene and they sat down and then try to make it better like 5 times and kept adding to it until they were happy with everything.
That's what it felt like.
All right, what's next?
I like the very beginning of the movie. I don't know if you guys noticed like how it was like pages of like of a book, and they were just like pulling one sheet at a time. Did you guys notice that?
It wasn't like binded or something?
Yeah. Okay. I'm like, I thought that was like so cool. Like it was like, it almost felt like the beginning of a Disney movie. Like, you know, when like a storybook like opens and it flips the pages open and then it's like one by one, like kind of like starts opening up.
I honestly skip that all the time.
Are you serious? Oh, come on, man.
What's the next
one? I really appreciate the relatability of like the money issues that they come into. Like, I think one of the most famous lines in this movie is that when George Bailey is like talking to Mr. Potter and he tells him, like, they're arguing about like saving money and like buying a home like outright. And he says, like, you know how long it takes a person to save $5,000? And in that time, $5,000 might have been, like, $50,000, you know?
Or 100, yeah.
Yeah. And even nowadays, like, you read about, like, statistics about, like, the average family. And they said that, like, the average family, like, doesn't even have $500, you know, in their savings.
I read something, it was pretty funny, like, that this movie is so timeless because back then
we still can't save $5,000.
Because back then you couldn't save $5,000.
Yeah.
Nobody has it today.
Yeah, there was so much to say about this movie. You know, the writing like just shines like so much into this movie. But there was I don't know. Well, we already talked about it in our favorite scenes and all that. But, like, I take issue with this movie, like, for a lot of reasons that I explained, you know, already. But overall, like, I really enjoyed it, you know. Like, it was a great piece of work, you know. Like,
I was afraid. Peter, any deep dive? Anything in your deep dive you want to get off your chests before we lock this one in the closet?
I don't have too much. I was going to say I typically don't like a lot of Christmas movies because they're about making Christmas perfect or, you know, buying that one present or trying to make Christmas as wonderful as it can be or, you know, spending hundreds of hours, you know, making dinner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to name too many movies, but, like, it usually wraps up, like, oh, it's not what it's about, but I don't like a lot of Christmas movies, I guess. This is probably one of the only ones that I do like, just for that reason.
You know? About Die Hard.
What else do I have to say about this movie? James Stewart's amazing in it. Or Jimmy Stewart's amazing in it. Thought I had more, but I guess I don't. Yeah. What do you got, David?
Right, well, I don't like about a lot of Christmas movies is like how you're a fucking horrible person if you don't like Santa Claus or you don't believe in it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're trying to, and then you're like, guess what, little 12-year-old? He is real, you know what I mean? I'm sorry if you're 12 and you're listening to this, you know what I mean? I'm sorry, guys. But like, he does, like, it's insane that like we work our asses off and that guy gets to take all the credit. For, I was shopping for 4 hours last night. It fucking sucked. All right. Harry, the brother.
Yeah.
Asshole or not an asshole for coming home married with another job lined up and letting
his life.
And letting his brother, but he took his brother's college money and went to college. Wow. He could have let his, like, yeah, like I wouldn't do a job I fucking hated for my brother, but I wouldn't have took his college money also, you know what I mean? Like, oh, they're like,
I don't know, because we didn't get to see the scene. What, like, where he,
well, what did he say? He said she spoke out of line.
He did say that, but he still let him. If he knew, like, the arrangements was that he was going to come back and hold the fort down so this guy could take off for a little while. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I don't, like, are you saying he's an asshole? I'm saying he didn't want that to happen. You know, well.
But he let it, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm trying to say is like it wasn't in the cards for him. He, I think he's a good brother, you know, and he, I don't know. I think they love each other.
Yeah.
You know, he got the better job, okay. You know. All
right. I guess I'll just save the rest of mine for the rating. Harry's an asshole. Harry, you guys got a line?
Oh, yeah, I do. I said this line, I think.
Wait, so let me describe it real quick. This is the part of the podcast. We're going to play a little game. One of the hosts is going to say a line from a favorite famous movie.
He messes up
every time I do it. One of the hosts is going to say a line from a famous movie, and the other two got to guess where it's from. And you listeners at home can play along with us. All right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm okay. So here it goes. Don't waste my motherfucking time. Don't waste my motherfucking time.
You know what this is, don't you, Chris?
Okay. I got an idea.
Okay, like wait, I'll give you a hint. If
can you say it? Can you say it like it? Can you say it like it? Well, let him guess first before you give a hint. Try saying it, David. Like how he says it.
Do you know who it is?
I'm thinking it's Samuel Jackson.
Nope. No. Don't waste my motherfucking time. I can't go like mad cow angry. You know?
What was it?
It's Al Pacino in Heat.
Oh, yeah. Son of a bitch.
Yeah. It's a funny line. What's your favorite line in that movie?
She's got a great ass.
It was Jesus. Is that what he says? Like,
oh my gosh. It was ad-libbed in that movie.
Yeah, it was.
Did you know that?
No.
It was, dude.
That's a great
like
movie.
The other actor didn't know what was going on, dude. He didn't say anything.
That's a great movie, and we got to review
it. Have to review it. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
So, Chris is, you want to go first, Chris, or no?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, this movie is just like a great. I can't even call it a Christmas movie. It was, I don't know. It was almost a great, like historical piece, you know? Because this movie, like, it didn't really, like, do well in the theaters. I think it, like, bombed. And it definitely, like, it went under the radar, I think, like, when it first came out. And I think I read that when it finally got put into the public domain, that's when it started getting like more notoriety, and it started like they started publishing it and like putting it out like for viewing for free. That's when it started to become like a Christmas classic. But back in the day, you know, like people didn't really. See it as a Christmas movie.
I don't really consider it a Christmas movie, but I still think it's a well done piece of art, you know. Like, I just wish that I could have seen this movie in black and white. I'll probably have to go back and maybe watch it one more time. I'll probably rent it or something, you know, just for the historical value. But it was a good movie. It wasn't a great movie. It hit a little bit like, it hit differently just because of personal issues, you know, with mine. You know, with whole, like, you know, God and religion and Christmas and, you know, the family being, like, so, like, you know, perfect. The only flawed character is George, you know. Everybody else seems to be, like, living their perfect life. But I enjoyed it. And I'm going to give this movie 7.5.
All right. That's pretty high for Chris. Yeah. It's a Christmas miracle. Oh,
that's, that's your Christmas present. Chris. I know. About to take a shit on your movie.
All right. Okay, you're up.
Okay. Like I said, the first time I saw this movie, I couldn't shut up about it for like a week. It's got so much great aspects in this movie. So many great actors, so many great characters. And Jimmy Stewart is one of my favorite actors as well. One thing that I forgot to say earlier is that, is it Clarence? Is that the angel's name? It would be nice if they sent somebody more competent down, right? No, seriously, like somebody who was like more stronger, like in every way, I guess.
Yeah. Liam Neeson character of Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah, so, but like a Morpheus, I guess, or something. Yeah. No, seriously, like somebody who's
not
like,
Morpheus.
Well, like that kind of impression, yeah, you know?
Gravitas. Someone with gravitas.
But what would you think about that?
I don't have a problem with Clarence.
It's comical.
It's extremely childish and silly, but that's kind of what separates this movie from the other ones with me, is that it's this childish movie that a child should not watch.
Well, I'm trying to say, what if it was like, what's the movie with Scrooge where he has followers from ghosts? You know what I mean?
Christmas Carol?
Yeah, Christmas Carol. What if it was like that kind of, like somebody more like powerful and just like got their shit together, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be too heavy though. Is that this is, it sometimes it has to be light.
Right? Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it. I can see what you're saying. He is really silly. He's like Winnie the Pooh came down.
Like, kind of looks like him too.
Yeah, it feels.
So I gotta give this movie a 9.
Woo! That's really good. Oh my god!
Yeah, it is really good. I thought Chris was gonna knock it down a lot more than that, but I thought you were gonna change my mind.
So Clarence keeps it from a 10.
Or what? Well, no, I think a big thing that what you said is how she was like, she's like 14, you know. I think that kind of fucked it up a little bit. Yeah. But it's such great like work. This movie is such great work.
It is. I mean? Yeah.
All right, so David, it's down to you.
This is a 10 for sure for me, and my 10s are like, I would say like more obtainable than you guys are, you know what I mean? Like, you guys hold yours probably to higher standards. Right? Like, mine are just like, I've seen it too many times. I laugh. I'm always attentive to it, you know what I mean? I'm not doing something else watching it. And, like, I cry in this movie. I feel what he's feeling. And, like, it's some of the best acting I've ever seen, you know what I mean?
From everybody, Jimmy Stewart. Just from a lot of people.
Like the fights he gets with, when like he's like, gets frustrated and angry, and he sticks up for like his dad's character and stuff like that. It's beautiful. I do watch this. I watch this movie a lot. So yeah, I'll give it a 10.
Damn.
All right, guys.
How many 10s have you given them?
I think I've given 2. I think there's only been like 2.
Okay.
But I do give my overall movies like higher ratings. Yeah. But I do love this movie though. I don't cry at a lot of movies.
I would have gave it 10, maybe even a year ago. Yeah. You know, and maybe next year I'll give it a 10 or like an 8. I don't know, you know. But this is how I enjoyed it this time, you know. I gotta say, watching some of your guys' shit after we reviewed it, I kind of like it.
You watch it over now. Again? You watch our stuff over again?
Yeah.
Which ones?
Well, like...
none of them are mine.
Both of them. I've watched them and like I kind of like them.
Like
more.
What, though? Like Beyond the Law or something?
No, not that one. Never again. No, but like Ronin, you know?
Yeah.
Or... but yeah.
All right, guys. So, Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
All that good stuff.
I hope everyone's hunkered down from the coronavirus and everyone's safe and merry. So, from the Three Amigos, signing off. Probably the last episode
of the year.
Of 2021. All right, guys.
Happy New Year. Bye.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Bye-bye.